This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite movies and shows. We focus on representation and the voices that are ignored.
Yo, 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 it's Salam Nerds. My name is Leeds, a.k.a. Watch Me Leeds, and I'm here with my
boy. We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, a.k.a. Watch With Neebs, and I'm here with my special guest. You may remember her from our last Doctor Who episode, Sarah. Welcome back, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How was your Hanukkah break, man? Did you have fun? Did you celebrate with the family?
Yeah, we don't celebrate that much. It's not like an Indian Jewish tradition all that much,
yeah.
But I light the menorah and make some latkes. It was pretty fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Even though, like, I don't celebrate anything, but the break is still really, really nice.
Yes. Great.
There's no holidays for us, but we'll take the PTO. we're not gonna complain. It was a fun break. We did cover a few shows. We got Doctor Who this week. We did. We're gonna do What If on, I believe, Saturday with Marmar, who we've had on the show a few times, and then we still have to do Aquaman. So hopefully we'll do Aquaman soon. But today we are doing Doctor Who, the Christmas special. So Doctor Who always does a big Christmas event or something like that. And this time we got to have it with the new Doctor. So I'm glad you're here because I definitely wanted to discuss, because there's a lot of things about this episode that I wasn't aware of until I saw some of your TikToks. I know that before it came out, our friend Danielle posted a little bit about it, and she was like, mm-hmm. Oh, doing a goblin theme is, you know, it's a little sketch. And like for me, like, I didn't know anything about that, the ties to anti-Semitism and goblins, until Harry Potter came out. So Harry Potter was my introduction to that. So it wasn't like something that, like, I knew along. I was like, why are people mad about Harry Potter? And then, like, I found out and I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So I was watching this and I was like wondering, like, what would people think? Because, like, I feel like they made an effort to go around it. Like, they said they're called goblins not because they're goblins, but because they gobble things. They didn't have the goblin nose, but then there's still things they failed at. Do you want to speak on that a little bit? Because I feel like it'll be very interesting coming from you.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I paid very close attention, because you're right, I did hear from Danielle, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'll keep an eye out, because that actually checks out, just like based on what you're saying, what I saw in the trailer, what I saw in the clip of the goblin and their whole song. I did think it had some anti-Semitic parts, like, you know, they're playing into the blood libel trope. The fact that it is airing on Christmas doesn't make it matters any better. And
yeah,
the history between Jews and goblins is even worse. Like you said, I think they did a good job with not having, you know, if they had the nose, I think, you know, there would be more like,
that'd
oh my
bad.
Gosh, this is like double trouble.
Yeah.
But I feel like overall, like, I don't want to speak on behalf of all of the Jewish community,
sure,
but
of course,
from the people that I've heard from, it has made a lot of people uncomfortable.
Yeah, I could totally understand that. For some of our people who don't know what that is, what is blood libel? Because, like, I didn't know about it until I saw your TikTok.
Yeah, so blood libel is an anti-Semitic trope that started way back when, actually. It started by the Christians, who basically founded this theory that, like, Jews apparently drink the blood of, you know, baby Christian children. And then this,
the entire point of this episode. That's crazy.
Yeah, like casually dropping that throughout the whole episode. But yeah, it started back, I believe, in the Spanish Inquisition times. I don't want to like drop
it's
a time,
always
but
the
it was
Spanish
definitely...
Inquisition, man. It's always them. They're always up to something.
And it got obviously even worse during the Holocaust. So yeah, I mean, that was exactly what happened with this episode. You know, the goblins wanted to eat children, playing into blood libel, and this fact that goblins have been used stereotypically throughout history to represent Jewish people in a negative way was not.
Yeah.
It didn't make the matter any better.
Yeah, I'm really glad you made that TikTok because I had no idea, and I feel like that's an important thing for people to know. And it might not have been on purpose. We don't know.
Yeah.
But like, people need to be aware because I wasn't aware. You know, first time I heard about it was like when I said like the Harry Potter stuff came out, and I was like, they still have it in their like rides and stuff, and I'm just like, But then again, J.K. Rowling isn't the best. So, But let's talk about some of the positives then. What are your thoughts about the new Doctor?
I think he's great. He's so charismatic. He's giving 11th Doctor vibes, like just like so full of energy. I think considering, he had a weird regeneration, you know, regenerating out of David Tennant. David Tennant's still there. And then Shurigatwa is also here. It kind of feels like a fresh start for his particular Doctor. So I feel like he's all full of energy, feels almost like a brand new Doctor that we're seeing, not necessarily like with the memories of the old Doctors, but kind of feels a little bit different.
Yeah, there's definitely an energy that we've been missing for a while. Because like Peter Capaldi was great. I loved his sass, but he didn't have like the David Tennant, Matt Smith energy. And then Jodie Whittaker, again, she didn't have the charisma and the energy that some of the other people had. And when you see him, you're like, oh, this feels like Doctor Who. This is like has that energy. It's like they're going to be running. They're going to have some exciting things happening, which I really, really liked. And I also feel like there are things that are happening in the story that like Russell T. Davies is pretty good with, like this ongoing joke about how gravity is now called Mavity. And like that happened in a David Tennant episode, like one or two before, where they accidentally run into Isaac Newton. And instead of saying gravity, he mishears it. And now it's Mavity. And because of that, it changes like a little bit of a ripple, and now everybody says Mavity. So I think that's really, really funny, and that's a very Russell T. Davies kind of like style of writing, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, it's nice that that's like playing through. It'll just like live on forever in Doctor Who, as long as no other director forgets. Like that's gonna stay forever.
I know. I like these little inside jokes. And you know, this Doctor, like, I feel like there, in some ways, he is the combination of Peter Capaldi and David Tennant, because he still has that charisma, but he also has a little bit of sass too. There is a little bit of sass coming out from him, which I think is really, really funny. So I'm very excited to see where he takes this Doctor, because like so far I was very entertained throughout this episode. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with, like, he's very sassy. I think it's also because they're both Scottish, and I'm just like, okay, so fine. They're like just very sassy people. But I could be wrong about the stereotype of the Scottish people. But yeah, you're right. And I think if, like, he starts giving, like, Peter Capaldi level speeches, like, then I'm gonna, okay.
So how do we pronounce his name? Is Shooty? Is how they pronounce it?
I think
it,
I think? That's how I've been pronouncing it.
That's how I've been pronouncing it. If anybody knows the correction, let us know. But Shudi's also been in Sex Education, which I hear is really good. Only thing I knew about it was Ashley Simone's in it, who we love from Bridgerton. So that was something that I should probably check out sooner or later, because I've heard good things about him, and I heard he's really good about it. He was also in the Barbie movie, which came up. So a lot of fun things, man. There's a lot of theories, but we're going to get to those at the end, because there's this new old lady. There's some cover with the name. There's some other mysterious figures, which feels like classic Doctor Who. The mysteries. I love like solving these mysteries, and I think they're so much fun. So let's break it down. Let's go over the episode. So one thing that I noticed about this episode right off the bat, there's a narrator. And not all Doctor Who episodes have narrators, which I think is really, really funny. Like, what do you think? Is this Santa Claus? Like, Santa Claus was in an episode. Apparently, he's Nick Frost in the Who universe.
Yes,
which makes sense. Santa would be a Time Lord. Like, his sack does have all the presents, so it has to be bigger on the inside. So I totally get that. But who is narrating this episode? That's the mystery.
Yeah, I thought it was Shooty, actually.
Is it? It might be. I don't know, because I'm not used to his voice yet. So it could be him himself.
Yeah, I thought it felt like a Christmas book, almost, like, you know, somebody's narrating, like, the night before Christmas. It kind of felt like that, like, at the beginning and, like, at the end as well. But yeah, I thought it was Shooty when he was talking, but it could be
wrong.
It
might be. I don't know. So we start off on this church, and there is a mysterious figure who leaves a baby at the doorstep, and that baby is found, and the baby gets adopted. Yay, everyone's happy. It's like all cute and stuff. And then we flash forward to the present, and we see Ruby getting interviewed. So she's on some kind of reality show where they find your relative. They find people who are adopted, and then they find their relatives, which was a real show, which is ironic. Mm-hmm. I think Oprah was on it, and so many other people were on it, and they were able to trace back their heritage to certain slaves and certain slave owners and certain, like, people in historical, you know, what you call it, history. I thought it was really cool. So I was like, oh, cool. They're trying to find her history. And then she just goes about her day. She goes clubbing. She's her friends are in a rock band. And then she sees the doctor getting lit on the dance floor in a kilt and a wife beater and a leather jacket, which is such a vibe. Like, that is such a vibe. I really, really like that introduction. I love the fact that he's the first doctor that can actually dance. Because I've seen Matt Smith dance, and it looks like an elephant. Yeah. So I like that we finally have a doctor that can dance. I was vibing with that. What were your first thoughts about the interactions of Ruby and the doctor?
I thought they were great. I think it, like you were saying at the beginning, I think it left that, like, mysterious tone. And she was like, who's this guy? Like, he's kind of cool. He's dancing all, like, very free, very, like, wild and free, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like their first interaction. I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten, like, a character interaction or, like, a companion interaction with the doctor where, like, you know, they don't know they're going to be companions up until, like, halfway through. And I feel like the first introduction, he was kind of, like, eyeing, but not really.
Yeah, that is so true. What are your thoughts about Ruby? Because she gives me, like, Clara if Clara went to therapy. Like, that's the vibe that I get.
That's so funny. I don't think she gives me Clara, but I mean, maybe, like,
I think it's the way she's dressed. Like, Clara used to wear, like, skirts and jackets and stuff like that, so maybe it's the way she dresses that gives me Clara vibes.
Yeah, I feel like Ruby is very rebellious. I feel maybe Amy a little bit. Like, I felt like Amy Pond was a little bit of a rebellious child, like a little, you know, out there and kind of like, I don't remember what the black dog, I think, is the saying, like, or white dog or brown dog, one of the dogs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's kind of like how I see Ruby, but overall I couldn't really compare her to another. I know I've seen people compare her to Rose because she's got the blonde hair, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't think so. I think she's very, very unique, and I like it.
I don't think she reminds me of Rose, but I mean, Ruby, Rose, like, they're red. Her mom's name is Cherry. Like, there's a lot of red references in here. I don't know.
True. We'll,
and you know Russell T. Davis. He likes to sprinkle in the little clues, right?
Yeah.
So we definitely like that. What did you think about their chemistry together? Do you think, like one thing that I don't love about the doctor is how all his companions kind of fall for him, and we haven't had that for a while, which I kind of like there's always this, like, tension between the doctor and one of their companions. Like, you know, there was, who was the girl? Martha. There was Rose. There was Clara. And then even Yasmin with Jody, there was some little bit there, right? So I don't always love this, which is why Donna is my favorite companion, because she's so like, even Amy was like, mm-hmm. you know, really into the Doctor, which I didn't mind because she had this amazing arc where she chose Rory over the Doctor, which was the point of her story. But the rest of them, they just seem to just really like fall in love with him, which I get. Except Donna. Donna's like, no, this. She treats him like a brother, which I love.
Skinny.
But, yeah, they're just like making fun of each other. They're like siblings who roast each other, which I love. But where do you think they're going with Rose? Do you think they're gonna have a situation closer to Rose or Martha, or is it gonna be closer to Donna?
Probably closer to Donna, but I feel like Ruby doesn't strike me as the, or maybe she does, I don't know. She's kind of rebellious, but she doesn't feel like, you know, she's going to go roast, but like in a comedic way. I felt like that was more Donna and Catherine Tate.
Yeah.
But I feel like Ruby, I mean, there's no way that she can fall for the Doctor. The Doctor is totally gay.
Interesting.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Ruby is like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the relationship, but either way, I don't think they can fall each other because of like the Doctor being gay in this particular series.
I always thought the Doctor was like all comes in all flavors, so like I didn't know if he regenerates, this regeneration particularly is that way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like how Jodie was like more leaning that way. I feel like Shudi would lean that way, considering that he himself is gay. So I feel like maybe he would like embody that type of, like, he'd want to go with that flow. But I could be wrong. Again, I have no idea.
You could go either way. I mean, I think it would make people mad, which would make me happy, because I love it when the fanboys get angry. It cracks me up. They get mad. They get mad over the silliest things. So it's fun. All right. So she's leaving the club. They interact. The snowman starts to fall. And now we're trying to realize, whoa, a lot of incidents start to really follow her around, which kind of reminds me of the movie Gremlins, because that's what the Gremlins did. Like they were cute, and then they would turn into these like little gremlin things, and they would play pranks and do mischief around people. And I'm just like, you know, you could have saved a lot of people grief if you just called them gremlins. Just like, don't even call them goblins, just call them gremlins. That would have made so much more sense, and you would have saved everybody a lot of heartache. But yes, he saves him from a snowman, and then he meets this cop, and he goes, name the Doctor, occupation, not the Doctor, which I never get tired of. And then he has this fun interaction with the cop, tells him that his girlfriend will say yes, he's going to propose. Again, like, I love this charismatic part of him. What were your thoughts about that interaction?
I thought it was amazing. Like, so sassy, so quirky, just like right off the cuff. Like, it kind of also reminded me of David Tennant. He had this one moment where he had somewhat of an interaction like that, like occupation, the Doctor, and like it was like near the end of his run, and I just I was like, wow, okay, yes, perfect, we're back.
Love it. All right, so he goes into this TARDIS, and then what happens is he shows up in front of Ruby's house, and there's a TARDIS there, and this neighbor, her name is Mrs. Flood, can see the TARDIS. And I'm like, wait a second, doesn't the TARDIS have a perception filter? How can she just see the TARDIS? And then when she points it out, I guess other people can see it too. And then at the end of the episode, you kind of learn that she may be something special. What are your thoughts about Mrs. Floods?
Well, okay, I do have to say my commenters kind of swayed me in the other direction, but my original theory was that like Mrs. Flood was a doctor variant, I guess, because now that bigeneration is possible, like it could be possible that she like glided her down the road and came back and was like, I'm gonna retire here. But like a lot of people are swaying me in the direction of like old Ruby, and I'm like, that makes a lot more sense.
That would be interesting. So what I have heard is that she actually may be River Songs. That's the theory that I've heard. Because Flood, River, Pond, Come on, guys.
I've heard that.
I like that theory, but it would be very hard to unexplain what happened at the end of the Peter Capaldi run. Mm-hmm. I think not only is it hard to unexplain, but like it kind of ruins their beautiful arc and story. So I don't know if I would want that, but it's a good theory.
Yeah, I've heard that theory too, and I like after the library and like her just dying, like it's not possible. Or maybe it is. I mean, it's Doctor Who, but like to come back old, like how? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So I'm very curious about how that. But like the other thing that freaked me out about Mrs. Flood, she broke the fourth wall. She looked right at us. And she asked us a question that fucked me up. I was like, what? Why? That scared the crap out of me. I did not expect that. It freaked me out.
Oh my God, I don't remember this.
Oh, you don't remember this?
No.
So, okay.
I have to go back.
Oh, it's like an after credit scene. They pulled a Marvel.
Oh my God, I didn't expect that. It's
They pulled a Marvel. So after the credits, basically what happened is she looks at the camera and she goes, what, you've never seen a TARDIS before? And she looks right at the camera and says it to us.
Shit, I have to go back. I have to watch it now.
That's why it fucked me up.
Oh my God.
Like, it was after the end credits. I didn't expect it. I was like, what? It shook me. It was so wild.
I was like anticipating no end credits. So I was like, is Doctor Who no end credits? Wait, do the anniversary specials not have, like, they don't have end credits, right?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Like, maybe Disney, because they're on Disney now, Disney's like, no, you got to give us end credits. It worked for the MCU. It's going to work for you guys.
Oh, my gosh. I have to go back. Like,
yeah, go back and watch it.
Top priority.
Yeah, if you're watching, guys, go back and watch it. It's so crazy. And there's only been one other time where the Doctor broke the fourth wall, and that's when Matt Smith just like for a split second looks at the camera when he's about to die. Now I'm like, this is the second time they broke the fourth wall. The first time I was like gonna let that slide because I was like, it seemed like it was the actor talking to the audience, and I was like, they're just giving Matt Smith his moments, right? Just giving him his flowers, be like make this your moment, connect with the audience, thank the audience, and we'll just pretend it never happened, right? This time you can't pretend. She literally looks at the camera and asks the audience a question. Breaking the fourth wall was wild. So go back and watch that.
I will. That's crazy. I already have theories, but I need to go watch the scene first.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm confused because the Doctor never goes to the multiverse. He'll never go to another dimension. He only stays in one dimension, and he travels back in time, back and forth, no matter how it changes. The only time he went to another dimension was when his hand got cut off and there was another David Tennant, and he went to go live with Rose.
I would also say like Jody as well. She kind of like was on the border of the two universes.
That's true. Jody has some stuff that too.
But I don't think that would be like the reason for the fourth wall. I would think that like maybe a villain is causing this fourth like weird thing happening. I don't know.
I would love it if she ended up being a villain, like straight up Deadpool villain. Breaks the fourth wall, talks to the audience, makes references to BBC. Like that would be hilarious.
We're all being controlled by the media.
Oh my God, that'd be so funny. So also, why is this lady so mean to her neighbor Abdul? Like, leave that man alone. I don't know why she was so mean to him. So we go in and we meet Rose's mom. We meet Rose's grandmother. Grandmother's name is Cherry. Her mom basically adopts and fosters children, and she like they stay with her for a little while, then they find a home. Some stay for days, some for weeks, some for months, some for years, but only one never left, which is very interesting because the Doctor also has companions that stay for like a day, for weeks, for months, and for years, which I thought was pretty interesting. I really, really liked how they made that, but it also references to the Doctor. What do you think of Rose's family?
Ruby.
Oh, sorry. Ruby's family.
I think they're so cool. Like the grandmother always asking for tea is such a vibe. Like it kind of reminded me of my grandmother. I was like, yes, my grandmother always asked for tea.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I think when you're like saying like the references between the doctor and like Ruby's family, I think they're like the comparisons between the two are like uncanny compared to like any other companion. They've got so much in common. And now that the doctor also knows that he's adopted or they're adopted.
He's like, an orphan. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That was pretty crazy. The fact that she's an orphan and the doctor's an orphan. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that coincidences were like so, like it was a backbone of this episode. Everything was happening in coincidences. So while we get to know the family, they find out that she's getting a baby. The baby's called Lulu Bell, born on the same day as Ruby. Another coincidence. And then Ruby gets a phone call from the producer of who was doing her interview. And she's like, sorry, we can't find any trace of anybody related to your DNA at all. And then she dies. That was so wild. They didn't show it. And you don't know she died until like he goes back in time to save her. But like she died from a Christmas star on a tree. That was dark. What are your thoughts about that?
I thought it was so Doctor Who. I mean, the fact, like, I'm glad they didn't show it at, like, Disney Plus, but, like, it's, like, I don't even know. Like, the moment she was, like, talking about it and, like, also sitting under the tree, she's like, has anything weird happened to you? Have you been tripping or, like, crazy stuff? And then the tree's, like, falling, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
She's going to die.
Freaking godless. Yeah. Oh, God. George is in the comments. Shout out to George. George says, oh, my God, it's two of my favorite creators. So I'm guessing he's talking about you and me. Shout out to George on TikTok.
Hey, George.
Yes. So basically, there's no ancestry. And then the baby ends up going missing. Apparently, the goblins take her. She goes to the roof. She goes to find the baby, and the baby is being taken by these little goblins, and she goes and climbs this ladder where he goes, whoa, you see a ladder in the sky, you just climb it. She's like, it has the baby though. So he basically goes to help her, who just happens to be at the right place at the right time. Also, he had so many outfit changes. Like, this is his like fourth like fit since he's been like the doctor. Like, crazy.
Amazing. I love it. Like, I'm expecting him to be the fashionista doctor immediately.
She's gonna be the best dressed doctor for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I would love to see that. All right, so then they have these power gloves, which basically transfers all the weight into the glove so that it's completely weightless, and you can climb and do whatever, which I thought, cool. I love these little inventions that they have. But here's my biggest negative of the new doctor. And like, this is the one thing I don't like about the new doctor. I hate the new screwdriver. I hate it. It's ugly.
Me too. Honestly, that was the first thing that I thought of. Like, I was like, this looks like a clicker for a garage. It is ugly.
Yeah, it's this is the one thing I don't like. I love the new doctor. I love his fit. I love his personality. Hate his screwdriver. It doesn't even look like a screwdriver. It looks like a remote control.
Yeah.
Oh, man. George is saying this guy may be the best since Matt. Yeah, I would not disagree, man. He has a lot of potential right now. So, like, there's a lot of ways that this could be one of the best doctors at this point. So I am excited to see that. All right, so they go to the goblin ship. And then, yeah, here you find out that the goblins want to eat the baby. And they're not time travelers. They're time riders. So that's, like, a new vocab that they added to us. And the doctor was offended when she called them time travelers. And then he talked about how he spent a hot summer with Houdini, which is a reference to some of the classic Doctor Who, because Doctor Who used to reference Houdini all the time in the classic episodes. So they're tied up. They get free. Then they try to figure out the ropes, because the ropes are basically what controls all the ships. So, like, I love this clever writing too, like the way they use the ropes in different ways to control the ship. Then they go and they try to save the baby, and then they break out in song, and then they also have this goblin king. Now, what's something that you mentioned to me, which I didn't notice, not you didn't mention to me, you mentioned on TikTok, was the king goblin actually had horns on him. And that's also like an anti-Semitic trope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, reference to the devils.
I think they could have done the goblins without the horns. Like, they didn't need the horns.
Yeah, they could have, like you said before, like, they didn't have to call them goblins. They could have called them gremlins, and I would have been chill. Everyone else would have been chill. But they added the horns, they were goblins, they were eating children. I'm just like, Christmas.
Yeah.
like four whammies in a row.
I know. Like, and the entire show is about coincidences. You can't say all these things are coincidences when you have a show about there are no coincidences. Right. You're telling on yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So then we get them and they save the baby and they go into the song. What did you think of the song? Because the songs are like, the song for some reason is very popular over in the UK. I hate it, this part. Like, I did not like it. What are your thoughts?
I thought musically, like, it's definitely like an earworm, like it could get stuck in your ear. And I thought it slapped.
Did you?
Like, if it didn't, like, again, like, if it wasn't so problematic, I would be like, this slaps. Like, this is great.
That's so funny. Oh, George just mentioned, I like his screwdriver better than Capaldi's sunglasses. I forgot Capaldi has sunglasses.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I didn't like Capaldi's sunglasses because I was like, is it actually working? Like, I can't see what's happening.
Yeah. Also, I don't like when actors wear sunglasses because most of the acting people do are with their eyes and their brow. Yeah. So when you're wearing sunglasses, you're not expressing enough emotions. So
yeah, I feel like in that moment, like for Capaldi, it was also because he was like blind in like 5 episodes and it's like,
oh, okay, that's right, he was blind. Damn, yeah. I need to go back and watch Capaldi's episodes. A lot of those are like blanks to me. George loved the goblin song, so hey George, you need to get on our episode. We haven't had you on for like a year, so George, we need to have you on. All right, so we talked about that. They save the baby, they go back in the house, and then this giant crack appears. And the show has a thing about cracks. I think in the Amy Pond seasons, there were things about cracks and stuff like that. And they usually mean something like a time rift or something. And they talk about the baby, whose name is Lulu Bell, who everyone hates the name except for the doctor. The doctor somehow likes it. I feel like the name is going to come back. And it's going to be important. Like, I just think Russell T. Davis does a lot with words and names, and I feel like Lulu Bell is going to be a word or a name that's going to come back around. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see that. And then they're just talking, having these conversations, and before they know it, Ruby's gone, and we don't know why. And he starts talking and having this conversation, and all of a sudden, the mom is talking in a more melancholy way, and she's like, annoyed that she has this baby, whereas before she was happy. And it was one of those like butterfly effects where like having one child stay with you forever like basically changed her entire perception of life. It made her life more full, more happy. Like, it's really interesting because like married people will tell me like having kids ruins everything they say, but like here's a situation where like she had a kid and it made her life so much better and so much more fulfilling, to the point where she had more kids. She had about 33 kids on her fridge and now she had none. And whenever she has one, she is annoyed and she only does it for money. So I thought that was really, really interesting. And when he asked her about Ruby, she says she doesn't know, but you can see her starting to cry. Which is really interesting because that also was something that happened to Amy Pond. When Amy forgot Rory, she would cry and not know why. So I love that throwback. I like just coming back together. I thought it was really, really cool. What were your thoughts about this scene?
I was going to say literally the exact same thing, like exactly the same. Cause like the crack and like having that rift in time, basically like this was a rift in time, like time completely changed. And then, you know, having that like similarity between that scene with Amy and Rory and now also, you know, Ruby's adopted family, like it's crazy. And I was so sad in the scene. I was like, oh my gosh, all of time has changed and we don't know why. And like, is she coming? Like, obviously I knew she was coming back, but like, it was depressing. I was like, so many things can change the course of your life. You don't know how impactful somebody has like on you. As a person, like throughout time,
it was crazy, and the acting was amazing. The woman who played the mom did such a good job. Like, she had this stone cold face while still crying tears,
crying,
it was such a well done scene. I really, really liked it. George is saying, as a parent, it hit me. You don't know how much your kids mean to you until they're gone. Oh, man, that's so true. That's true, man. No, I totally feel that, man. It was a really, really good scene. It really hit home. And then I think Shudi also did a great job in that scene because you can see him crying also. And then he's like, all right, he's going to go back and he's going to save Ruby from what happened. So he goes back to the day she was adopted, and the stranger basically leaves Ruby, the goblin saker. The doctor comes, he tries to save him, he uses the gloves, he ends up killing the goblin and saves the baby. All this while the mom just looks on, like, because after he saves the baby and he goes back to the TARDIS, she's still there. She's like walking. She's like not even a block away. What the hell was that?
I thought that was so funny because, like, what you watching? Like, she's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this, she's mysterious though.
Very,
like,
mysterious. That,
like, who is under there? Like, is it some villain later on that we're gonna see? Like, crazy stuff. Like, maybe she wanted that to happen and it didn't, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna walk away, but later on I'm gonna come back.
Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe she knew she wasn't supposed to interfere, or else things won't happen the way they're meant to happen, right? Some kind of rule like that. So we'll watch and see. George is like, it also made me remember, this is Doctor Who. Those two are lovable, but bad stuff is going to happen to them. Yeah. bad stuff's definitely going to happen to them. I feel like this season might be a little sad. They might be some tearjerker moments in that. So we'll have to see. All right. So Ruby is back. They go back in time and he sees her and he goes, this is amazing. You're back. And then he goes back to a TARDIS and does something. Oh, yes. He goes and he saves the lady from dying.
Yes.
So that she can actually find her ancestry, which I thought was really cool. And then while he's doing all this, Mrs. Flood sees everything that's happening. She sees him come in and out. She's not surprised. She can see the TARDIS. No perception filter. She sees Ruby go in afterwards and is not surprised about it being bigger on the inside. Mad sus. Mrs. Flood is mad sus. But what are your thoughts about Ruby figuring out that the doctor is a time traveler?
I love it. It's so great. It's like, again, like classic Doctor Who, you know, finding out the TARDIS is bigger on the inside and finding out the doctor is a time traveler. It kind of reminded me of, like, when I think it was Tennant and Martha figures out that they are, like, the 10th Doctor is a time traveler, is kind of like resembling that. And I'm just like, yeah, this is great.
I love how every companion has a different reaction to the TARDIS. And my favorite is Rory, because he knew everything about it. Like, no, it makes sense. I get it. He's like, huh? Yeah, I read up on it. He fucking did a Google search. He figured it out.
What is the TARDIS?
Exactly. No, I thought that was really, really cool. But yes, at the end of this episode, she breaks the fourth wall. So there's so many theories right now, right? So there's theories about who Mrs. Flood is. There's theories about who her mother is. Some people say they might be one and the same. Makes sense for her mother to be her neighbor who could watch her grow up without actually having to raise her, which is kind of like what Amy did with River Song. So I thought that was interesting.
That would be a little depressing, though, because, like, if Mrs. Flood knew that Ruby is, like, her child, Amy, I felt like, was different. Like, Amy didn't know that River was her child until she knew, and then she was, like, more engaged with, you know, that relationship. But, like, that would suck if Mrs. Flood was, that would be really sad.
George is like, Ruby has a good vibe for a companion. She is up for adventure. Yeah, she is definitely up for adventure. I think she's going to have an exciting time. Another thing that people are saying, I think we mentioned this earlier, Rose could be Ruby's mom, which is really weird, but Ruby, Rose, Cherry, I don't know. There's a lot of red references, which I thought was very, very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, I would. Some people are saying that it might even be the doctor's kid, which would be weird. Like, the doctor at one point regenerated and left Ruby, then that would make Ruby his kid, which would make the tension between them really weird, very incestual. I don't like that one.
I don't like that one either. That sounds terrible. Yeah. I mean, we remember when the doctor had a daughter. No, let's not do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. She had a daughter, and this could be her kid, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, right.
Right?
Oh.
Georgia Tennant was the woman who played her, who ended up marrying David Tennant, which I thought was really funny. But yeah, that is a very, very interesting theory. So I don't know. We'll see. That's what I love about Doctor Who now, because like there weren't theories for what's her name? For Peter Capaldi or for Judy Whittaker. Like I feel like now people are like, oh, there's a mystery. There's who is this person? Who is that person? This is feeling very Stephen Moffat to me and very Russell T. Davies.
Yes.
Right. So I really, really am enjoying this season. I can't wait till it comes back. I don't think it comes back till the spring.
Yep.
So it'll be a while. George says, let's see. He said that couldn't be any worse than what they did with the 13th Doctor story. I don't even remember the 13th Doctor story. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too. I forgot the flux.
So, Peter Capaldi's season, to me, was good until they lost Clara. And I think Clara kind of carried that season a little bit. Because we all had an attachment to Clara from Matt Smith's season. Also, I love the fact that he no longer found her attractive at all. He couldn't even tell if she was a boy or a girl after he transformed into Peter Capaldi, which I thought they had a really, really good chemistry. But then when Peter left, when Clara left, I don't know, the writing just got less mysterious. It was just whatever's going on. And then even with Jodie Whittaker, they had this great reveal about the doctor being an orphan and then there being a previous doctor who was black. Apparently there was a regeneration before her first generation. Amazing. I liked that twist, but there was no anticipation leading up to that twist. There was you found out in two episodes. I don't know. It was,
yeah.
I don't know. So yeah.
Jodie's writing was rough.
Yeah, it was rough. Even though I do think she has some really banger episodes. Rosa Parks episode was really good. Demons in Punjab was really good. She has a few bangers, but as a complete season, not that great.
Nah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. George, just if you don't remember, I'm trying to forget. Damn, George, tell us how you really feel. All right. Well, that was everything that happened in that episode. Anything else you want to talk about? Any theories, any predictions that you might have?
Ooh, I mean, I am so excited to see, at the end of the anniversary special, somebody mysterious picks up, the tooth of the toy maker, and the tooth was, the master. Oh, yeah. So I'm like, who is the picker-upper? Who's going to be the new master? I'm so excited for those two people. I obviously have no idea who Mrs. Flood is. I'm, dying to know.
Yeah.
Just so many things, that I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to, more Russell T. Davies and having him direct, maybe having Stephen Moffat come back to write a few episodes would be really great. He does some cool, dark, mysterious episodes.
That is very, very true. What are your thoughts about the Masters? Who's your favorite Masters? Because my favorite is Michelle Gomez. I think she was straight up Looney Tunes. She was hilarious.
I loved Michelle Gomez, especially because she also had that those moments of growth that I'm okay. And I don't know who the master was before her, but literally directly before her, that guy.
Yeah.
So misogynistic. She put him in his place. And I thought that was great by the end of Peter Capaldi season. And definitely Michelle Gomez, 500%.
I'm very excited to see them bring back some old villains. That'll be really, really cool. But not the Cybermen for the 15th millionth time, but definitely the actual actors and characters. I think they're really cool. Obviously, we're probably going to see the Daleks. We haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious to see where it goes. But yes, you are Doctor Who fan, tune in to this spring where we will cover it. And we'll try to get Jazz to catch up. So if Jazz can catch up by spring, we can have him on the show too. But Doctor Who is definitely an adventure. It's a show that I really, really, I don't know. I really, really love Doctor Who. It's one of my favorite shows. And I think the David Tennant and Matt Smith seasons are probably one of the best TV in like general. Like it's feel good, feel bad, feel sad kind of show. It gets you in your feels. You feel all kinds of things. So definitely check it out if you have not. If you need some tips on where to start, we'll let you know. A lot of people say start with the ninth Doctor, which is the modern era of Doctor Who. Some people say skip the ninth, go straight to 10, and then come back to 9 once you're used to the show, because the special effects are really, really bad in the ninth season. And so is some of the cinematography and stuff like that is not the greatest. But, you know, other than that, there are some episodes that we could recommend. One-off episodes I could recommend is Blink. I think that's one that people really, really like, that you can just watch straight up without needing to know anything. And you're just like, you get the vibe of the show without actually having to know any of the backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would recommend The 11th Hour. That was like the first episode that I started with. And then, like, at that point, you know, Doctor Who wasn't on HBO Max, so I just watched that. I'm like, this is great, but how do I watch it? Now it's like on Max, which is great. So I would say 11th Hour, I feel like, is a good, you get like a little taste of how the Doctor operates, the regeneration, and like also a really, really good episode.
Yeah, for sure. George is saying start with the 11th. The only reason I don't agree with that is you need to be introduced to River Song, and she gets introduced in the 10th. So like, if you start with the 11th Doctor, at least watch the library episode with River Song, because that's very, very important to all of season 11. The 11th Doctor. But yes, anyways, that's all we have for you. Thank you for joining us. Sarah, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, so I'm at movies_and_t on TikTok, and then at moviesandt on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Go follow Sarah. She has some amazing content. She is really, really talented. She is definitely someone who I learn a lot from her videos, so you can learn a lot from too. And until next time, guys, Salam, nerds.